Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Want to broadcast for up to 8 hours?
I could think of somebody.
I'm gonna keep quiet on that one. So, welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited, episode 55.
Hello. Yay. 55. See, I think this show is encouraging me to keep up with Off the Cuff, because if I keep going right now, I will still be one episode ahead of you. If I stop, then you'll be tied or you'll pass me.
Hey, a one episode difference, isn't it?
Yep. Although it's kind of sad when you think that Off the Cuff has been going for 2 years? Yeah, 2 years. I actually went and decided to listen to the very first episode of XRG that we did today while I was at work. That's why I sent you the message, what's the FTP stuff for the website, so I could get that MP3 to listen to it at work.
Okay.
I haven't finished listening. I'm basically listening to see if we have delivered on anything that we set out to do.
Makes sense.
So, just as kind of like a joke, but you know, we'll see. I haven't finished listening to it yet.
Occasionally I do that with podcasts, but most of the time I don't, only because I do, but I don't. I never remember what I say after I've recorded the podcast.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty much the same way. I'll record something and then let it go to die. Which is why I have a hard time going back in episodes. Like, every once in a while I'll get a message saying that so-and-so commented on an old episode, and I'll go back and read the comment and I'll have no idea what they're talking about in said episode. So what have you been up to?
Well,
do we even say who we were? Oh, I guess it's in the bottom, so we really don't have to do that anymore. But that's not very formal. Who are you?
Well, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips, obviously. Over the last week I haven't had all that much entertaining go on. I was playing around and made I made like a background picture, you could call it. Basically, ooh, it's just it's one I made for my computer at work. It's basically this.
Okay. The original Altered Geek.
Yeah. I took my avatar that TV's Mr. Neil made me, which combines various elements of like Tron, some Batman, some Megatron, and tiny bit of Star Trek and stuff. And I created a transporter underneath myself and made the transporter effect by just randomly drawing straight lines of different color.
Well, that's one way to do it. Pretty sure that's how they did it in the movies.
I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, so that's what I did. And then I actually got a Coke that has my name on it.
I have yet to see one that says, I mean, I've seen, shouldn't say that. I've seen pictures of ones that say Michael or Mike. I have not seen one in the flesh yet, but I haven't gone looking. But that's nice. You are validated as a person now, sir. You exist.
Yes. It says share a Coke with Steve. It was actually the first one I bought out of the machine the other morning. So I didn't realize that it had my name on it till I already drank it all. And then I flipped it around, saw the name, and I was like, oh, shit, that's me.
You drank yourself. Wonderful.
That just sounds dirty. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing over the last week.
Well, I am Mike Booth Ninja 81 Powers, as it says at the bottom of my screen right here. I had trouble talking last week too, if I remember correctly. I've spent the last week playing Diablo 3 with my wife.
Good game.
And I played and beat Infamous First Light on Wednesday. Came out on Tuesday. Let's see. I figured out how to put video into, you know, off the cuff, the video version of it, which I don't know. I'm right there on the bleeding edge of just going video only with that. I mean, I have not done what I said I was going to do, which is post the audio for it like a week later. And really after yesterday's experiment with the gameplay footage in the video and then placing the raw footage in the video when it goes into the YouTube archive, like that, I kind of solidified the whole idea of taking the show video only, because video games are a visual medium. It's nice to be able to show people what you're playing.
Yeah, I can kind of get that. There may come a point where I may end up doing some kind of video tutorial or kind of doing it behind the scenes while I'm editing a podcast or something. I don't know. I eventually might also do some, cause I played like Unreal Tournament online and, various old games like Red Alert 2 and stuff like that.
So there was that. And then today I went and got myself a new toy, which if anyone's, I don't know how intently people look at this podcast, but I have, these are my old headphones, which are still really good. They're Shure 440s, which headphones, who really cares about headphones? I care. I went on a quest, like, I don't know, it started in 2011 when a game called Sword and Sorcery came out for the iPad, and they were just, like, the music for it was really good, so I wanted to have a decent set of headphones so I could actually experience the game, because half of the game was the music that was made for it. So I was like, I want to be able to experience that the way it's meant to be experienced, so I went on this whole, like, thing about headphones, this, that, and the other thing, and so today, well, at the beginning of this year, Blue, the guys that make our microphones.
I love Blue. They make such good stuff.
The guys that make our microphones, back in January at CES, they teased that they were going to get into the headphone business. And I was like, what? So I was listening and I was paying attention. I signed up for their little email. So like once a month, I get an email newsletter about like Blue Mo. It's called the Blue MoFi. Here's the little instruction manual that comes with. And I was like, you know, they're coming eventually sometime this year. Here's a little teaser video, but they would never show you what the headphones look like. And so it's kind of like one of those things. It's like, I don't know. So I went in this past Tuesday or last week. I think it was last Thursday. They announced that on the 26th, they were going to show off the headphones. They're finally going to release them for purchase. And on the 26th, I went to Blue's website and there they were. Won't be able to hear Steve if he's asking any questions, but I'll take these off and show you guys.
See, it's nice. It's a Blue headset. Yes. The blue headset, though, I'm kind of enticed only for the fact that my current headset is almost 5 years old now.
Well, see, it's kind of hard to review something. I've had it for about an hour now out of the box. There is a noticeable difference between this and my other set of headphones that I have been using for like the last year. The big difference is these are like way more comfortable.
Like, really? And
yeah, they're a lot heavier than the Shure's are, but they're way more comfortable for some reason. I think it's just the fit. I mean, they do look kind of futuristic, you know, when you turn to the side and everything. Now, the big thing with this, the reason they call it MoFi instead of Hi-Fi, is they kind of looked at the portable, you know, the MP3 player market and stuff like that, and they were trying to, it's like, why does music have to sound like shit coming out of an iPhone or an Android phone or anything like that? And what they did is there's a battery, a rechargeable battery in the headphones, and there is an amp a powered amp built into the headphones.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to. So basically, your MP3 player, your mobile phone, even my computer, I'm not relying on that to drive the speakers in the headphones. There's an analog amp, not a digital amp. There's an analog amp in the headphones that, you know, powers the drivers. So everything it does, it sounds a lot better. There's three settings on it. One is like off, and that's what I'm using right now for recording this. And then you can turn the amp on, and then you can basically turn it one more setting, and that's basically like applying like a bass boost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes the bass a little bit punchier, but just turning them on is like a big difference. They claim that you can get 12 hours out of a single charge of the battery, and it takes like 3 or 4 to fully charge. I will say this, and I'll take the headphones off again so I can show it to people, because like I said, it's battery powered, and there isn't an on off. There is an off switch, like you can turn them off, but they turn themselves off when the headphones come together like this. They actually power down.
That's kind of a cool feature
on their own, so you don't have to worry about whether or not you remember to shut the headphones off. So I'm, you know, an hour with them, I'm pretty happy. I read a couple of reviews from some websites that I actually care about, see what they have to say about them. That I just like things to sound good. It comes with a 3 meter, so a 9 foot cable.
Oh, wow.
It comes with a 9 foot cable. It comes with a connector for airplanes, so you can use it on an airplane. It comes with a wall charger, the USB cable for it. They are primarily marketing it as an iPhone accessory or an iOS accessory. So there's an iOS control and microphone, a separate cord for the iOS microphone and built-in controls. And that's what I'm using, because I don't need 9 feet of cable while I'm sitting right at my desk. I like them. I like the way they fit. There's a bunch of other stuff, like there's a lot of joints and pivots on it so that the headphones stay flush against your ears and they're not doing stuff. It's a bunch of mumbo jumbo that I'm not entirely qualified to talk about, but I know I do notice a difference. So I'm pretty happy about that. And oh, it comes with this nice bag to carry them in. Yay. And it is a magnetically sealed bag, which is kind of cool. If you see it in pictures and stuff like that, they look kind of cheap, especially when you find out how much they are. But they are actually made out of the same, it feels like it's like the same type of aluminum that the Yeti is made out of.
Okay.
So it's metal. You're looking at metal, even though it might look like cheap plastic in a photo. It's metal for the headband part. So
that's good.
Unlike, you know, my Shure's, which they're cheap plastic, but these are actually really good for, I use these for mixing, you know, off the cuff. Cause it's like, if I can hear something in these, then I can probably hear it in anything else. So, I still like these. My wife thinks I should sell them. I'll have to figure out what I want to do with them. So, that's what I've been up to. Trying to think if there's anything else. No, and I didn't. This is the only toy I brought to show off. Oh! I did. Another big thing happened this week. Not big, really. Back in... Well, first of all, there's this device coming out. It's called Coin. Have you heard of this?
Coin. No.
It's like a... Okay, it's a startup. It's a tech startup. Their product is a credit card, if you will, that can store multiple cards on it. So you don't
need
to
carry...
Okay, I
have heard of it.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's quite a few companies out there doing the same thing. I chose to jump on the Coin bandwagon. So back in May, I pre-ordered a Coin so I could try one out, or just to have one, because if you pre-ordered it, it was half off. So I was like, oh, I'll go ahead and do that. Within the last month, they started sending out emails saying that the Coin beta was going to start at this time and whatnot. And then like 2 days later, they announced that they weren't going to be able to hit their Coin beta. Like, Coin wasn't going to be released this fall like they said it was going to be, and whatever. Long story short, they finally got their stuff in order, and the official launch for Coin isn't starting until... And I can't not laugh. I'm sorry. The official Coin doesn't launch until next spring, but they decided to do, like, a Coin beta program for, like, 15,000 people that pre-ordered.
Okay.
And I actually, right before we signed on here, I actually went and redeemed my Coin beta. So I'll be receiving it sometime. I don't really know when, but I'm interested in it because I carry like a very minimalist wallet, and I have my debit card for my spending account, I have my debit card for my joint account, and then I have a credit card for emergency funds. And the idea behind this one card is that you program it with all of your with those three cards, and there's a little button on the front that you tap to cycle through, and there's a little e-ink screen on the front of the card that will like show you, like it'll say like Visa, like if you can label it different things. So, like, let's say you had a Visa card, a MasterCard, and a Discover card. The little screen would say, this is your Visa card, this is your MasterCard, this is your Discover card. And so like you just tap it until you find the one that you want to make your purchase with, and then you swipe it, and then it makes your purchase with that card.
Huh.
So it just eliminates the need to carry like, you know, 5-6 cards. They said that you can load a coin up with 8 cards at a time.
Okay, I was just about to ask that.
Yeah, you can load it up with eight cards at a time, but the app holds like 12, and it syncs with your phone over Bluetooth. So if you want to use a different card that's not currently on your coin, you just open up the app and say, I want this card in there and this one not.
Okay.
Like I said, I haven't actually been able to play around with it because I haven't received it, but I'm hopefully we'll have it before the end of the year. They'll notify me when mine actually ships. So I will probably talk about that more when I actually get it, because I actually think that's kind of neat. I know there's a lot of questions about security and all this other stuff. I know that, like for example, if you're out to a restaurant and, you know, the waitress comes and she takes your card and you give them this card, and it's like, well, what's preventing them from changing the card that you're paying with? You know, you send them away thinking, I'm going to pay for this using my Visa card, and then they change it to like your American Express card or whatever, right? When it gets out of range of your phone,
it locks.
It locks to that card.
Okay.
So it can't be changed again until it's back within range of your phone. Another thing that they do is they allow you to disable the card, like if you like lose it. Or even if you leave it on the table and you walk so far away, your phone will buzz and say, hey, you left your card behind.
That's cool.
So it does a lot of neat things. But like I said, I don't have all the answers for everybody yet. I'm still waiting, like most people are, to try it out. They said it works at like 85% of the card swipe things. And that's what the beta's for, so that they can learn more about what, you know, card readers it works with and which ones it doesn't, so that they eventually can get it to like 100%. So I'm looking forward to that. I guess quite a lot happened this week. It feel like it, mostly because I've been sitting at home, hanging out with my wife playing Diablo and been playing Infamous First Light, so.
I haven't played Diablo in quite some time.
I mean, I have my issues with it. Like I said, on Off the Cuff, they're more like superfluous things or superficial things. Like, you know, the fact that you equip different weapons to your character, but you never actually attack with them.
Oh, how it's just the same weapon every time you hit.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily the same weapon. I mean, you can change the what you equip changes the look of your character, definitely, but you never actually physically attack with that weapon. There is no character animation for attacking with a sword, which is just a minor thing. I had that gripe like way back when I started playing Diablo 3, even on when you gave me your key for Diablo 3.
Yep.
So I could try it on the computer. I had that issue with it. So, but it's fun. I mean, at the end of the day, when you're playing with three other people and your character gets buried under a mob of guys, you really can't see what you're attacking with. All you're doing is pressing buttons and hoping that you come out alive. So I am playing as a wizard. So
that's what I played as well.
I like the spell. Yeah, I like the spell that gives you not the spell, it's the passive ability that gives you the shield.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That's how I know that I'm in real deep doo-doo, is when I go and rush into the middle of a mob and I start like raining down hellfire, and then I see my health start going down. When I see my health start going down, that's when I know like I'm probably messing with something that I should probably think about. And like then I start like dodging out of the way to get out of the middle of all those guys. But if my health doesn't go down, I just run right in the middle of everybody and just start electrocuting and dropping meteors. And
I like doing that.
It's been fun. The couch co-op has been interesting. But you should come over and try it out sometime.
Definitely.
So,
because I like the game, I'm partially accustomed to it, having played the demo on the 360.
Mm-hmm.
But I mostly have played it on the PC, but I haven't played it since the announcement of the add-on pack.
Right. So, which the new version, the PS4 version, has that. So we were my wife and I are actually there. We started doing that part of it, but we haven't gone. I think we've only played like 30 minutes of it, because it, you know, the original game is only four acts, and when you're playing the PS4, the new version that came out, it doesn't, like, it's not like it stops at the end of act four and like credits roll. It just barrels right into act five, which is Reaver of Souls.
That's pretty much typical of Diablo, I want
to
say.
Like, I was expecting it to like break and go back to like the main menu and then be like, do you want to go, or do you, you know, now you can select act five, or you've unlocked this. But it just it barreled right into it, which was nice, don't get me wrong. It's just it's not what I was expecting.
I think Diablo 2 did the same thing, now that I think about it. But I've never really been a fan of the Act 5s, usually. Like, I played it in Diablo 2, and I really didn't care for it.
Okay.
But I don't know how it would be in Diablo 3. Granted, the game's changed a lot since originally getting the game when it came out in, I think, 2012.
Yeah, I think this is, what's that, like, that's three releases, well, not counting the expansion pack, but Diablo 3 has now been released three separate times over 2 years on, like, well, because there's the PC release, then there's the PS3 360 release in 2013. No. Yes. Diablo came out in 2012. I thought.
I think so.
Then there was, so 2012 and then 2013 saw the release of it on the PS3 and the 360, and then 2014 sees the release of it on the PS4 and the Xbox One. I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, that's kind of crazy that one game in 2 years has seen like three separate releases of the same game. That's, I mean, yeah, that usually happens, but for me, it's usually like a console thing. Like, oh, hey, you got that game, and now 6 months later, oh, look, it's on my system. I don't really think that's ever happened with, I guess it's gonna happen again with Grand Theft Auto, though. Really. I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 was released last year, and then this year it's being released on Xbox One, PS4, and PC, so. That was a dumb train of thought. So.
My headphones, for instance, obviously I can't hear. They are the padding on them is
Eroding.
shredding on the all the kind of rubbery quasi leather padding on the entire headphones and the top of it. I've had those
Yeah.
headphones that long, and it's kind of irritating because I like the headphones, and originally this is how I recorded Geekcast Radio before I got the blue microphone. But I've had these, I think, 5 years. They're still comfortable and they still work. It's just I don't want to replace them, but I don't like the fact that every time I take them off, I have like some of this black crap that falls off it
Yeah,
every
I had
time.
a one of the first pair of headphones I had like a long time ago, like I'm talking like 2001, 2002-ish, was a pair of Koss headphones, which is like the Walmart brand of headphones as far as I think. Well, Walmart or Meijer.
Yeah,
Koss,
they both sell them.
Koss, and they were like, big over-the-ear cans. They had that cheap, not leather, but the like that, like the plastic. The rubbery plastic looks like leather, not leather, stuff. And those started falling apart on me. I used those from like 2002 to, oh, probably like somewhere between 2008 and 2010. Like, they drove themselves into the ground. Like, one ear cup stopped working. And I primarily used them at work, so like eventually all that plastic stuff like came off, and I just had like the cloth earmuffs around it, which was fine. That's fine. But then one headphone like died, and so like when I was at work, I'd like wear it, one like off and one on, kind of like a radio DJ or something like that. And then eventually I was just kind of like, you know what, I need to get another. That's when I started diving in, like 2011 rolled around. I started diving into like headphone research, and I replaced my work headphones with a pair of Sennheiser 208 HDs or 808 HDs or something like that. They're nice for just like cheap. They were cheap, and they're good to throw in a drawer at work. And I take them out when I'm watching my movies or TV shows or something, and they have a nice little cable, like wrap the cable up around this like belt clip thing, which I, don't use the belt clip, but it's nice to have a cable management system because the headphone cord is really, really long. But nope, I'm a sucker for good sound, so that's kind of like what I look for. Although,
I kind of like the same type of thing. In as far as like my headphones and my microphone, I don't like having the kind of crackly sound at all. I it little just even little things like pops, clicks, or any kind of random noise that would come through from cheap equipment bothers my ear.
Now, the one thing I will say, I love headphones. I also have a I think it's a nice surround sound system. My family, my friend, my best friend, he thinks it's a nice surround sound system. Mainly because the speakers that I'm using, well, I've changed the receiver like in the last, 14 years, the receiver's been upgraded. I'm still using the same speakers that I bought 14 years ago when I got my first surround sound system. They're little Sony speakers. They're about the size of this pop can here. And they still work 14 years later. And I often think about, I go on Amazon, I look up a price. I mean, I have a set of speakers like picked out that is their Klipsch HD speakers. And they go on sale every once in a while. And I look at them, I'm like, man, I'd really like to upgrade my speakers. And then it's just kind of like, would I even notice a difference? But it's at the same time, it's like, I like to think I would notice a difference because the speakers I have are 14 years old. Like, newer speakers must sound better, right? But then you hear all this stuff about how speakers need to be broken in and headphones need to be burned in. And like, you turn them on and you leave them playing like a white noise to stimulate all the glue and all that stuff and break them in. But like I said, the speakers I have for my home theater are they're old, but they still sound great. Like, I really don't have a complaint about them. It's just like, part of me is just like, man, they're 14 years old. I should probably get some new ones, and then I never do. By the way, this is like the most amazing thing to me. I don't know if I've showed this off before. This is a thumb drive, and it is 64 gigabytes. And it is USB 3.0.
Nice.
Yeah. This thing is tiny. I am amazed by this.
I have one slightly bigger than that, but it's a 64 as well.
So, anyways, I don't know. I had it sitting right here, and it just amazes me that something this tiny, like, the first Mac I had a hard drive just a little bit bigger than this, like, capacity wise. And now here's basically a solid state.
Yes.
Please tell me that muted.
It did.
Okay, good. We had a small issue on Off the Cuff Live yesterday where Danner thought he muted himself, but he didn't mute himself. But then at the end of the show, we realized he didn't have his microphone set up the right way. So,
Nice.
yeah, the nice thing that, just talking about our equipment here, the nice thing about the Nessie that I really like is that it, unlike the Yeti where it has the you push the button to mute it, the Nessie has that is just a touch sensitive button. Like, you just
Oh, okay.
and then it unmutes. So you don't ever end up with a click, like a
Yep.
like noise in there when you use that mute button. Anyways, enough about that. Do we have any news? Anything people might care about? Do we have any viewers?
No viewers,
Okay.
unfortunately.
Maybe people are over the live shows.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Oh, TFG and Mike's sick. That's weird.
Let's just read our Twitter feeds.
Yeah, we'll just read our Twitter feeds. I was reading something about that they're saying Captain America 3, they're I guess wrapping up the story of Steve Rogers. Which
I think they're
means if they do that, he won't be in Avengers 3.
his contract his con they said that Evan's contract is
Contract.
through Avengers 3.
Ah, okay.
Now it's kind of weird the way it's word the whole thing is worded. Like, obviously this is going to end the story arc that was set up by the first Avenger. It doesn't, I mean, and yes, Chris Evans has said he's done with movies after he finishes his role as Captain America, but everyone knows that unless you're Christian Bale, people can pretty much back up a Brinks truck and you might make a movie. Until Chris Evans doesn't show up in another movie after Avengers 3, then I'll believe that he's not Captain America. Like, he's not going to keep playing Captain America. But I do believe that, the teasing here is that Captain America 3 wraps up Steve Rogers' story. It's the story that they started telling with First Avenger. It doesn't mean that Cap 4 couldn't start a whole new trilogy. It just means, I take the wording to mean that they're just wrapping up that story. And then, of course, you throw in the whole, like, Chris Evans is going to retire after he's done with Captain America, which, who knows, he might. We don't know. It could have. Keep in mind, Robert Downey Jr. also said he was done playing Iron Man after Avengers 3, but just a couple weeks ago he said he's open to Iron Man 4. It's just a matter of how much money he gets paid.
I think it was between that, and I think it's also the fact that he said that it depends on the storyline and whether he and his agent decide that it's a good move or whatever.
Yeah, there's no way it's not going to be a good move. I will be right back. Start talking about something interesting or show you something. I'll be right back. I have to blow my nose.
Ah, okay. So I... Well, I'll start with this. It took me a while to find this. I think I actually had to get it online. The Hot Wheels came out with, I think it was in 2011. I could be wrong. I think, nope, they came out in 2009. I just didn't get them until 2011 or 12. They came out with these battle damaged, or not even battle damaged, just Star Trek ships. And they are, I'm trying to figure out the scale of it. It's like a model in a box, and they had the Enterprise D, they had the 1701 Enterprise refit, they had the Enterprise 1701 for the Abramsverse, the USS Reliant from Wrath of Khan, and the Klingon Bird of Prey. And among those, they had the USS Enterprise 1701A, which just happens to be my favorite ship. And it's battle damaged, like on Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, when the ship got the most airtime. And as you can see, if you're watching the live feed or watching the YouTube video, it's got battle damage on the nacelles, or not the nacelles, the saucer section, and along the bottom, kind of right in there. Where it got hit in the actual film. But, yeah, this is by far my favorite Enterprise out of any Star Trek right here. So,
Steve found a toy.
Yes. I actually really like this one. Battle Damaged cool. Enterprise A. And then the... this is something that... you can't buy.
Did you steal it?
No. Okay. I'll do one better. I made it.
Oh, yeah.
This is my Batman Beyond Return of the Joker figure that I made. I did this a few years ago. I decided, because occasionally I get this itch that I want to try something that I've never done in geekdom, and... much like recording audio or doing voiceovers. Yes, I know there's a cat in the background of the video. And then, you know, doing the video and learning new stuff. Psycho cat. So I decided I was going to do kit bashing and customs. See? Crazy cat.
Yep.
So I what I did is I went out and I went to Michael's and Joanne's crafting stores or whatever. I took actual pictures of Joker from Return of the Joker, like close-ups of the color on his skin. And I actually went out and color matched it, which is I bought that color and I bought black and I bought green. Because his hair is, it's in Return of the Joker, it's like black with a tint of green to it.
With green, but mostly you highlights. See the,
yeah, so you see the one shine across the edges of the head, which I don't know if the video will do it justice, probably not. But you can see like a slight green kind of around the around the head.
Kind of see it, but I don't know if that's the green or if that's the reflection.
It's, here, back it up a little bit. You can kind of see it. It kind of goes around the, right in there.
Yeah.
So anyways, I did that. And then, the hands were actually all black before, and I actually painted them the same color as the head and, put the nails on there so that it looked all gnarly like the film.
Goth Joker.
Yeah. So I used, I had to buy two different figures to make this one, and the other figure was actually the Joker body. The Joker body is completely butchered, because the only piece I used was the head.
Okay.
And of course he's got like the, and I have some other Jokers. See, like these are two of the newer remastered Jokers here. This one is a newer one that came with like the Justice League Unlimited Batman and the Grey Ghost set. This one is a part of the Wild Card set. I got one of these for $5 on eBay. It kind of sucked because I had to, with very smooth sandpaper, I had to sand his head down to get the points off.
Okay.
On the head, because otherwise his head looks like that, and in comparison. And I actually used a razor blade to cut a lot of it off, and then I did that, and then I had to color the yellow from the mouth and eyes white so that it actually matched. But yeah, and I popped the figure anyway that I used is Nightwing, and I popped the head. And then I couldn't get Jokers to come out of his other body and fit into this one, so I actually cut the pieces down, because there's a way you can actually make it slide in there without breaking the body, and I did that. But yeah, I think it came out pretty well for making something that doesn't exist, and I've toyed around with the idea of making another one just to do it better and maybe sell it.
There you go.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody'd buy it, but it's a thought.
There's somebody.
There's somebody that'll buy it. I mean, all it cost me is, you know, the parts and the time. But it wouldn't be any different than Joe on Off the Cuff sitting there remastering figures on the video feed.
Yep. He makes for good Dead Space. I mean, we had people complain about, you know, the camera switching. But Joe's always got toys there, so it's really good to just leave the camera on Joe. So.
Yeah, just thought I'd show off my Joker. That's I funny enough, I keep it kind of closed up because I don't want it getting any damage. But that's at least till I make another one.
Right.
Other interesting news. I don't know. Do you watch the Emmys?
No. I mean, my wife found out that they're on. She said, we should watch them. I said, it's an award show. Who cares?
I don't watch them. I watched some of the YouTube videos after the fact.
We watched... Now, I'll be honest. We watched the Billy Crystal tribute speech to Robin Williams.
Which is great.
We threw that up on YouTube. We watched that, and that's about the extent of what I saw at the Emmys.
I watched that, and I watched the Seth Meyers kind of intro thing, which was neither here nor there. It was okay. And then I watched the Weird Al piece, where he's just adding words to the theme songs of TV shows. It was all right.
I heard about that one too. I didn't see it. I heard about it. So I heard for Weird Al, it wasn't that great.
He was trying to make songs out of
theme songs.
Well, shitty theme songs. Like yeah. There was no way he could have absolutely put vocals to those and made them sound decent.
Friend. Just kidding.
It'd be funny if one said precious.
Hey, you know, the Diet Coke one might say that. I don't know. I have
like Lord of the Rings and
yeah.
Do a video. My precious.
I mean, I mentioned that off the cuff, but I know there are people that listen, that watch Alter Geek that don't watch off the cuff. My wife is, she's very upset because Coke, Diet Coke, obviously Diet Coke is marketed towards women and Coke Zero is marketed towards men. And she's really upset that Diet Coke doesn't have one that says share Coke with a gamer, because she's a big gamer. And but Coke Zero has one that says share Coke with a gamer. So she's like, what, does Coke not think girls can be gamers? Why don't I get those? So like the Coke Zero ones say like share Coke with your bros or buddy.
I've seen a lot of those. I've gotten a lot of the buddy ones from Coke.
Or Legend or Grill Master or like obviously things that are like macho and guy oriented, but I do understand where she's coming from because she is a female gamer and she doesn't like Coke Zero and
It.
Let's see here. Did you have a script for today? Or are we just
I
winging
didn't
this?
really make one because I kind of was trying to see what would happen if we just kind of flew off the handles to see, whatever caught interest.
Okay.
But yeah, then what's your opinion, just out of curiosity, of Shutter Island, since they're now making that into a TV series?
I know, yeah, I was gonna say, I know where this conversation is going. I haven't seen Shutter Island,
Really?
so I don't have anything to say about it. Like, the reason I haven't seen it is because there wasn't, obviously it's a Scorsese film with Leonardo DiCaprio. Neither of those names does anything for me. Like, they're not a reason for me to go, oh, I have to see that movie. I don't have a problem with either one of them or their portfolios, but I mean, maybe I'll check it out now so I have some basis of what the show's gonna be about, but no, I have not seen it.
It's kind of interesting. I don't remember all that much about it. I think that it's these two FBI agents investigating this kind of
A
nut
psych
house.
ward, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a giant psych ward, nut house, and DiCaprio's supposed to be deciphering what's going on, and you have, can't remember his name right now, but he plays the Incredible Hulk. He's his partner, and as the movie progresses, they both get entered into normal population with the crazies, and then supposedly a murder happens, and then there's more. Eventually, DiCaprio ends up being a drugged and all this kind of stuff. So they make you, it's almost like Inception in the sense that it makes you kind of think that it could be either way. That he
Okay.
could actually be one of the guys in the nut house, which is what they want him to believe, or he could be the opposite.
Yeah.
They make it seem like he's controlling the situation, and then at points it makes it seem like he's a guy that went nuts and kind of went into remission, and that's why he's living out this FBI life to kind of live out a scenario to make himself seem not crazy.
I remember the trailers. But like I said, I haven't seen it. I think it's on something. Maybe HBO Go is streaming it right now. I might be able to check it out. I don't know. So.
I have it. I mean, it's not. It's not anything spectacular.
Mean, I have Leonardo DiCaprio movies too. I mean, I think I have Romeo and Juliet. If I don't, I should probably fix that. I actually like that movie. I do have Departed. I do have that. That was a fun movie. I'm sorry, now I'm playing with scissors. Dun it. Dun it. Dun it.
It's Jaws in
Dun
3D.
This
Now you
makes for
just
a
need
compelling video.
the what's that music? Not Jaws. I don't know.
Psycho?
No, I was trying to think. Halloween.
Nope, that's Friday the 13th.
That's Friday the 13th. Damn, I can't get my music straight.
Yeah, Halloween's was more like high pitched. Like I can't remember what Halloween was, but yeah, what you just did.
That was definitely Friday the 13th. Yeah, that one's like.
Yep, I'm done. Okay.
I'm putting crap back at my desk. That's why I haven't switched the video back.
Oh, okay. So it's just stuck on me acting like a fool. Got it.
Exactly.
So, here's something neat. I don't know if it was you or Mike or somebody else. I actually don't remember where this came from, but someone kept retweeting tweets from Kenner Toys.
Okay.
It may not have been one of you guys, but somebody in my Twitter feed that I follow was retweeting things from Kenner Toys, which the Twitter handle is at Kenner Toys. And I don't know if it's Kenner themselves or like a fake like account for Kenner, but they keep posting pictures of old Kenner toys. Like old Star Wars toys and mask and like all the toys that Kenner used to make. And they keep posting pictures of them, and I'm just like, holy cow, I remember that. That set or that figure.
Why are they... I guess I don't get the point in why they're posting.
I think it's just for nostalgia purposes. Like, I think it's just someone that, you know, they'll post like a picture of someone's like collection of toys, and they'll post like official stuff. Like they had a bunch of like the Batman Returns action figures, like Penguin and Batman and like all the toys that Kenner used to make. I get like, for me, it was interesting seeing all these toys that I had one at once upon a time, but I never realized they were all made by Kenner. You know, it's weird to realize, to think about how big that toy company was, and that they're practically like nothing now. Like, Ooh, a 500 gigabyte SSD for $200.
It's not bad.
No, it's not.
They're coming down in price. Just out of randomness, I'm starting to notice more conventions in Michigan that I didn't realize were here.
You mean more than just Grand Con?
Well, I knew there was more than Grand Con. I know there's Grand Rapids Comic Con. I know there's Motor City Comic Con. I know there's a Flint Comic Con, which is tiny.
We aren't fans of the Grand Rapids Comic Con.
You guys have been to that one?
It's not that we've been to that one. We know between the guys that run Grand Con and Joe and myself and Danner, and just the geek sale, we know the guy that runs it.
Mm-hmm.
Not his biggest fan. So,
I've gotten that drift from everybody. Not saying I would actually really go, but
no, I'm just saying we were talking about cons in Michigan, and I'm just saying like that. I was just enlightening. I was just saying, I'm not fans of that one. I haven't been. I don't know if it's any good. I'm just saying, not fans of that one because of who it's run by. That's just.
I mean, it could still be a good convention, but
yeah.
But from what I'm seeing of it, the only thing that kind of intrigues me about it is the fact that they do have some pretty named people,
right?
Media-wise. Like, I mean, any of them can get a lot of the comic people if it's a Comic-Con or stuff like that. But they have people that have done all different kinds of comics or you know, the authors and everything. But then they had one up at almost with the media guests. I mean, they're not like A-listers or anything, but they're not bad either.
Yeah, it's something.
it's something, and that's the only thing that makes it enticing more so. Like they have the lady that played the original Uhura. They have some lady on that was on Supernatural for like a whole season. Played the Queen of Hell or whatever. They have like Mark Ryan and the lady that voices Ash on Pokemon and one of the Power Rangers.
See, for me, I'm not familiar with who all these people are, so I'm not.
I'm familiar with them, which is the other thing that's kind of neat. But I, at the same time, they're not anybody like I would go out of my way to see.
Right.
No, I have noticed that there are other conventions around too that have, like, for instance, I would want to meet some of the guests that show up at them if it weren't for the fact that they charge $50 to $100 for a photograph or a signature.
Man, I don't get that.
Like, I was looking, William Shatner costs $80 for a picture with him and $80 for his signature.
I really don't.
I to me, that kind of cheapens the experience. I can't see, like, I mean, I understand if they want to charge something, but if you're going to do like a photo op charge, do like $20. I don't know. Cause like even, I mean, that's one of the draws for one of the conventions that I was looking at. And then the other draw was, I know you're not really a fan of it. And I'm not really either anymore, but, like the Green Ranger, White Ranger, Power Ranger guy, Jason David Frank, that has been interviewed on the network by Mike Blanchard.
I like the Power Rangers. I mean, I don't know. Okay, here's the weird thing. When Power Rangers was a thing, I didn't watch it on TV. Like, I knew enough to know, like, what, like, Megazord went with which color.
Okay.
Obviously, they're all color-coded, but I knew, like, who was, like, what was what. I did like the first theatrical movie. I did like that.
That one was actually pretty good.
And the toys, I loved the toys, because they kind of just reminded me of Voltron. The whole thing just kind of reminded me of Voltron, in a lot of ways. But I don't not like it. I especially like the Green Ranger and the White Ranger. I'm very interested to see what they do with the new movie that's coming out. Although, as much as people hate, I can't tell if people are being serious or people are just joking or like joking around, but there's been a lot of, like, in my Twitter feed and on Facebook and stuff, I've seen like a lot of people, you know, they pose the question, who should direct Power Rangers? And everyone keep seeing Michael Bay and people calling it like the Bay Rangers. And it's like, wait a minute, why do you want him to do Power Rangers when you're mad at him for, you know, poo-pooing all over Transformers? Like, I don't get it.
I don't want to see him anywhere near it.
I mean, I don't care if Platinum Dunes does it, but here's the thing. Michael Bay is not going to do Power Rangers. Saban is producing it, and Lionsgate is producing it, and they don't like to spend a whole lot of money on things.
No, that's why they have canned footage from Japan for just about everything.
Yeah, Michael Bay costs about as much as, like,
the entire franchise.
Like, well, probably costs about as much as, like, Lionsgate wants to spend on making the movie. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I can kind of get that.
So I don't really think, I mean, Platinum Dunes might go near it, but I highly doubt it because Platinum Dunes has a deal going with Paramount. But
that makes sense too.
I don't see them going anywhere near it. Therefore, I don't see Michael Bay going anywhere near it, just from a money perspective. But kind of like the same thing with like Transformers. Like, Transformers to me is giant robots blowing shit up, and that's what Michael Bay gave me. When I think of Power Rangers, I think of high school kids and giant robots fighting giant monsters and destroying entire cities.
And color-coded costumes.
Like, I don't see how Power, like, especially in this day and age, and this is way off the mark of what we're kind of talking about, but how do you make a Power Rangers movie without and avoid the whole September 11th talk. Like, I mean, it happened with Godzilla, it happened with Man of Steel. I mean, these are giant robots in heavily populated areas. They're going to be knocking buildings down. This is what happens. Like, how do you avoid, like, I'm not trying to be insensitive here, but I'm sick and tired of every, like, disaster movie or anything that has to do with, like, a building falling down in Metropolis all of a sudden being 9/11 imagery. And so I feel like I mean, Power Rangers is obviously just going to fall right into that trap. I mean, it's going to be compared to it, and it'll be interesting to see what happens, because obviously Power Rangers for me was popular way before that stuff ever happened, but I went off on a weird tangent. But most of what people want for the franchises, I don't think is going to happen. I mean, granted, they do have quality writers and producers on board, but that doesn't mean they're going to go and get a good director. So,
on the comments, as far as some of this is concerned, Jason Ritter posted about 54 seconds ago that the Michael Bay thing is a joke.
Okay, I wasn't sure if people were being at all serious about that.
I would hope not. I'm not a. I mean, I'm okay with Michael Bay to some degree, but I don't particularly like him.
I mean, I'd watch him. I'd watch a Power Rangers done by Michael Bay.
I would watch it, just like I've watched the Transformer films. I mean, people are going to pay for it regardless because they want to see what happens, but it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the money on it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a good film.
Right.
And then he actually made another comment. It says, what do you guys think about the new Doctor Doom in Fantastic Four reboot?
I haven't heard about this. What?
There's an image floating around on Twitter. I seen it kind of earlier, kind of floating around.
Checking to see if it's on Slash Film or not. I know there was something that went around last week about the thing supposedly getting posted to Twitter, but it wasn't on like an official thread. Why am I not, like, for me, yeah, it is kind of arrogant, but if Slash Film didn't post anything about it, then I probably didn't hear anything about it. So I guess what is it? Do you know what he's talking about? Like, can you?
I've seen a picture of it. I'm trying to see if I actually have one somewhere. It kind of popped up. I'm not really sure. It's not too detailed. It's kind of
okay. Doctor Doom will look like this in the new Fantastic Four. Okay, let's find out.
Yeah. He's got kind of the metal-y mask type thing like he always does, but it's, I don't know, that article doesn't show it, but they're almost saying it's kind of
well, all green, I see screen-ish. All I see here is that they're like, we'll look like this, and they're thinking that they show exactly what he looks like in the comic book. So, what's the, I don't know, I guess I don't see what the problem is, unless I'm not seeing, I mean, I haven't seen really anything, like, official, other than, like, a end of shooting photo put up by Kate Mara, and maybe a couple of other things. Like, there's very little known about the Fantastic Four movie, but as far as I'm concerned, I haven't seen or heard anything bad about the movie yet. And I mean, if this article is trying to tell me something that I'm not seeing by way of pictures, because I'm not trying to read during a live podcast here.
Well, I posted a picture up on a overlay.
Oh, okay. So it's more, I don't know. I don't,
I don't really know what to think about it. I mean, it's...
Well, it's all out of context.
Like, yeah, it's out of context. I mean, everything is green screened around him, and then I'm guessing that this is the thing.
No, that's not... I mean, that might be the guy that's, like, standing in to play the thing, but that's not the actor that cast as Ben Grimm.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I think anything we see between now and the time the movie comes out is going to end up looking a lot like the first time we saw the Bat for Dark Knight Rises, or the first time that we saw, like, Ryan Reynolds in the Green Lantern suit. Like, it's not going to look good out of context, and a green screen shot, obviously, that is entirely out of context. We have no idea what's going on. You don't know if the suit's going to be added on to with, like, CG or anything like that, although I didn't see any motion tracker balls in there. But you also don't know when in the movie that takes place. So that could be, like, the beginning of the movie. That could be the end after he's defeated. Who knows? I'm not willing to pass judgment on a movie from a green screen cell phone shot. It's just... I don't know. It has not lowered my enthusiasm for the movie at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of... I'm not going to pass judgment on it. I'm going to wait and see what happens, because I'm not thrilled whenever they change the concept of the characters, but I'm not going to, like, hate on it either, being that I haven't seen any actual footage.
Here's what I think, okay? Yes, it's suspicious that Comic-Con came and went, and we had nothing to see from Fantastic Four. It's even more suspicious when you find out that Fantastic Four finished shooting a week after Comic-Con ended.
So they're purposely generating people...
Well, there's nothing to go on about this movie. There's, like, nothing out there, which is really weird for a superhero movie. But I look at it this way. I like the cast that they chose for the movie. So they've got the cast going for it. I'm okay with that. I like Josh Trank because I really like Chronicle. I know you had your issues with the shaky cam and stuff like that, but that
aside, I don't have a problem with the people. It's just I don't like the way it was shot. I think if it was shot normal, I would have liked it.
Right. So, I mean, I like the movie as a whole package, but the other thing here is, let's not forget, Disney has hired Josh Trank to handle a Star Wars spinoff film. So they must have seen something, because I don't think Disney would have given him a Star Wars movie just off of Chronicle. I mean, maybe, but I feel like they must have seen some footage from Fantastic Four. So they kind of had a better idea of what they were getting. So along with me enjoying the cast and me liking the director and Disney giving the guy the reins to a Star Wars movie, which is, you know, obviously Star Wars is a big franchise. They're trying to get back off the ground into movie theaters. I think Fantastic Four is going to be okay.
Yeah. So, I could see it being all right.
Or I think it's going to be better than most people think it will be.
Jason Ritter says, as far as the kind of backtracking to the Power Rangers thing, says that the Orsi Kurtzman team is working on Power Rangers.
I'm okay with that too.
I'm okay as long as they get away from it after the first film.
Is it Orsi? I thought it was just Orsi that's doing it. I didn't think Kurtzman was doing it.
They're still doing some collaborative, but they're not actually working fully as a team anymore.
Well, I mean, I was talking about Power Rangers, like, as a whole. I thought only Orsi was doing Power Rangers because Kurtzman is working on Spider-Man with Sony.
That could be.
So, but yeah, we've talked a lot about Orsi and stuff like that. I mean, let's not forget, he's also a producer on one of TFG1 Mike's favorite shows, which is The Blacklist, which is an okay show. I mean, the thing is, Orsi and Kurtzman have proven that they can do good stuff. Or they're capable of coming up with good ideas, and they should let other people run with them. So, like I said, nothing I've heard out of Power Rangers really has me like going, "Oh man, I don't want to watch that movie." In fact, I think because Orsi's attached, I'm more likely to pay attention to what's going on with that movie than if it was just like, "Oh, they're making another Power Rangers movie."
Makes sense.
So, by the way, if you click that, is he commenting on the YouTube chat or is he Twitter hitting you on Twitter?
It's YouTube.
If you click that little eyeball, it shows up in the feed.
Little eyeball.
Next to on his comment.
Don't see one.
In the comment tracker?
There's no little eyeball.
Oh.
Not for me. Oh, I
Are
see
you
his refresh and remove.
Still on source or are you on stream?
I'm at source.
Go to stream.
That explains it.
Watch, there's gonna be a whole bunch of comments in there now.
There's only four. I
Okay.
was wondering why I wasn't getting anything in there.
Now, do you have the little eyeball?
I see it now.
Yeah, if you click that, it'll show up in the stream.
And this is what he says about Dr. Doom's mask.
That's what Doom's Mask looks anyways. I don't know what, I really don't know what people want. That's what it looks like to me. I mean, I don't. Some things will just never make anyone happy. I mean,
Cranky boots.
I don't know. I'm familiar with Doom on just for like very few things, but I don't know. I mean, I was still on board with them when the rumor was that Doom was going to get turned into a female. So I was still okay with that because I at least thought that was going to be interesting. So, but
So I guess I will have some stuff from the website.
okay.
That way we can converse about that. The last episode, we of course did our second trial run of the live show, and well, we were talking about the ice bucket challenge. Ryan Hannity says, "At first, I thought the entire thing was ridiculous. I bought into it after I saw a friend who has a family member with ALS, and then he said it was kind of cool to see that they raised $50 million, and it's hard to hate on it." And then Freddie Savage says, "Hate to say it, but it's becoming overkill. That said, I would rather something that gives to charity become overkill rather than 90% of what's on social media,"
Right.
which I kind of get because I think it's kind of done and over with. Like, not the fact of giving, but the fact that everybody's just doing the stupid video. And I
Right.
mean everybody. Like, you've even seen the Man of Steel in his costume do it.
Yeah, but are they donating?
Because yeah, that's what I'm not seeing. Because a lot of them, they're like, "Oh, I've been called out, and we're accepting the challenge, and blah blah blah." But you rarely hear anybody saying that they're donating.
Yeah, but I think I they
I mean, I know people are donating, and some of them probably aren't.
I like to think they're donating even if they're not saying that they're donating.
I'd like to think that too, but at the same time, it was originally meant as a way to be a cop out from donating. But I guess I don't know. And then, of course, we get to Jedi Disaster that says, "Would you ever do call-ins for the live show?" I've seen a few podcasts doing this through Twitch, that does calls, and sometimes through Skype.
If it happens, it'll probably happen on off the cuff first, mainly because I try everything out and then share what I learned with Steve. However, I can't see the first show that we did for off the cuff live, I had to do a second take of it because I started the hangout and it was just Joe and I, and Danner was going to join us at a later date. If for some reason I could not get, Danner could not join the hangout after it already started. In that regard, I don't know how, I don't know if it was just a fluke and it didn't work that time. That's something that we'll have to try out on like a later show at some point, maybe when I do another like lunchroom live or something like that, because the lunchroom stuff we can kind of play around with. But as far as being able to add people into the Google Hangout, which we can do, it's, you're supposed to be able to do it, but I haven't been able to successfully do it after the Hangout has already started. We'll see. We'll have to see how that goes when I I'm able to test it.
I think you can actually invite people through the top to invite people, and I think you might be able to have them incorporated.
Oh, you can. We were doing that. But either Danner wasn't getting the invite or it wouldn't let him join after the Hangout had already started.
Okay.
Like, after I'd click go live, like, he couldn't join. So, I don't know if it was just a fluke, like, that day. Also, I would be a little weary of how Skype, like adding a Skype, like a basic putting Skype on speaker and having that go into the Google Hangouts. It's not something that we're opposed to. I just have to work around to figuring
find
out
a way for it to work.
Yes, figure out how that all works and stuff like that. So, because apparently there's like a way that we could do like the Google chat and people can chat like right in the window with us. And
yeah, there's, it's in there. Yeah, you can do a group chat too. I don't know how that works yet.
Yeah. So anyways, we're obviously, it's still a work in progress. We've only done, Steve's done three and I've done three or four. And each week I try to think, figure out something new for each week and then implement that into Off the Cuff and then implement that into Altered Geek. We didn't do video in Altered Geek, which is what I added to Off the Cuff this week, but it's fairly straightforward. You just do a screen share of the video that you want to share. So yeah. Anyways, it'll probably come eventually. I just have to work it out and how that all works. So.
So I'll look forward to that in the future, hopefully. Andre Walter says, do you glue your Legos after you build something like the Tumblr? I'd love to see them make a desert camo one as well.
Well, to answer the first question, no, I do not glue my Lego sets together, and I never will. Even though I don't expect them to come apart in any way, shape, or form, I don't know. There's something I find incredibly wrong about making a permanent Lego set. Even though I do buy these with the idea that they will stay together for as long as I want them to stay together, I just can't bear the thought of a permanent Lego set. The desert camo tumbler, I don't know that would actually look good out of Legos. Because Legos are, they're like all hard edges. It's not like curvy or it doesn't like flow. Like you'd end up with like, it'd be tan with brown squares on it. I don't know. I do think that the camo tumblers look cool. I don't think it would make for an interesting looking like Lego set, in my opinion. But man, is that an awesome Lego set.
Yeah, I've thought about gluing them before, but I couldn't bring myself to do it if I wanted to. Just for the same reason you said, I wouldn't want to, I would like the option to tear it apart again in the future or add on to it.
Yep.
And then there was talk about who we think should play Cable. And the only suggestion that was in the comments that Justin Washington put was Stephen Lang.
Now, that's the guy from, I think the last thing I saw him in was
He was in Conan, Avatar.
Yep, Avatar. That's correct.
Terranova.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's better than the other one that was thrown out there, which was Bruce Willis.
I could not see Bruce Willis playing that. He was fine as Joe Colton, but he'd be, I don't know. I don't think that would do justice to Cable to have.
Why not like one of the big muscle bound guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
That would just be funny.
I don't know, Cable's always a big guy. I mean, obviously for like the movie incarnation of him, he doesn't have to be a big guy, but
He'd have an Austrian accent.
Cable's not one of my favorite characters. Like, I really don't have a stake in who would play Cable. I know there was a lot of like nerd hype hoopla that Cable may have been in Days of Future Past, like in the beginning of the movie. Which I'm gonna when I that comes out on Blu-ray, I'm gonna go back and check that out. I'm pretty sure it was debunked that it's not Cable, but I want to see for myself that it's not Cable. It doesn't mean they have to use the same actor because let's be honest, the X-Men movies have never been known for using the same actor. Outside of like the principal cast, I should say.
And then going back to the hangouts, Jason Ritter says, I did the ice bucket challenge last week. Even Homer Simpson did it.
I have not done it. I have not been challenged to do it. I will not do it, and I will not donate because I am a cold-hearted SOB.
Well, technically, I already challenged everybody from the GCRN, but
You're
never
not,
mind.
nope. Well, yeah, not gonna happen.
Only reason I did it was because my wife was on me. Otherwise, I would not have. Not that I don't support it. I don't really want to.
Did you
I did
donate or did you just do it?
I just did it.
So you're
I
part of
don't
the
have any money
problem
to
then.
donate.
But so wait, hold on. So you're really part of the problem here because
No, I did the cop out.
Oh, okay.
Because you're supposed to douse yourself. That's the whole thing. If you douse yourself, you're not.
You don't have to donate.
You don't have to donate. That was how the whole thing started. You either donated or you doused yourself with water. It just turned into eventually that you did both.
Okay,
Because I
gotcha.
was like, yeah, I don't have any money to hand over, and I wasn't going to do that either.
Right.
But she was like, oh, just do it, blah, blah, blah. And
All
then they
right.
wanted to do it at work, and I grabbed like the bucket with the least amount of water in it and lifted it over.
I got a shot glass.
Mark Hamill, he did it with an eyedropper. He said, because the shortage of water here in California, I'm going to use this eyedropper.
You know
And
what? I think
then the entire production cast started dumping water on him.
that is a bigger there's a bigger story here, which is they started the state of California has started fining people.
That are doing the ALS challenge.
Yes. Like
I think
really
that's
heavy fines
funny.
apparently. I saw that on of course it could have been an Onion thing. I didn't click on the article. I just read the headline. Because who reads articles on Facebook?
I don't.
Anyways, yeah, it's like it could be true, it could not be true, but yeah, they were
Just to round out the last few things for this episode, Jason Ritter says, as far as the who he thinks should play Cable, he puts Michael Biehn or Ron Perlman.
No.
I'm still fine with the first choice.
I mean, out of all the ones I've heard so far, yes, that's the one that I like the most. I, you know who else might be okay? 'Cause I think he kind of, like, and this could just be me being dumb, I feel like he could be easily mistaken for this person. I feel like Bruce Greenwood could be easily confused for Stephen Lang.
I could see that, just not with all the white or gray hair.
Well, Cable has white hair.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying Bruce Greenwood doesn't.
Oh, okay.
And then there's the last challenge, or not challenge, question that Jason Ritter has before we close it out. He says, what do you think of the actress they cast as Mockingbird in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Xena.
Wait a minute. No, I thought Mockingbird was, Adrian, Padalecki. Yeah, I thought that's who that was. I thought she was cast as her, because I like her from, I mean, obviously she was going to be Wonder Woman in the NBC show, but I also like her from NBC's Friday Night Lights. Am I wrong? Is that not who I'm thinking of?
I think you might be right. Adrian Palicki is Mockingbird in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I'm not familiar with that character, but I also either. Know that Lucy Lawless, which is, I think, who I got it confused for, is playing an agent in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
It's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't really care what they do. It's still in the train wreck category. I mean, that show took way too long to get good on its own, and then it only got good because it was anchored to a movie.
It was boat anchored right into Captain America 2, which is the only thing that made it worth watching.
Right, exactly. So unless season 2 finds a way to stand on its own, I don't really care who they add. Like, they could, I mean, as long as they find a way to get it to stand on its own, then yeah, fine. Awesome. Great. Great casting choices. You found a way to make a successful TV series out of a Marvel property. Yay. But if they add all these people and they can't find a way to make it good and stand on its own, way to waste everyone's time.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same opinion at this point in time.
I mean, I still like Coulson. I like Adrian Padalecki. I don't have a problem with Xena the Warrior Princess. I like the direction they were going in. I just hope they can keep that momentum going strong. I like the idea of Agent Carter like taking over in the mid-season, during the mid-season break for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The real downer to Agent Carter is, what if Agent Carter is better than Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well, technically, it would be the first.
So, I think Agent Carter is going to benefit from being that mid-season replacement, being 12 to 15 episodes rather than, you know, 22 to 25 episodes. But of course, that remains to be seen.
Yes, it does. And also, we'll probably do some kind of a live stream or something from Grand Con.
Yep, there will be something from Grand Con. It'll probably be the four of us in my hotel room gathered around my computer talking about stuff. Yep.
Yep.
I just said that.
Yep. So, I think that about rounds it out this week.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me. I'm going to edit and game.
I don't see if my wife is still awake, and maybe I can get her to play some Diablo.
Diablo?
Diablo.
I haven't loaded it up in ages. I probably should try.
We are, because I realized how easy it was to do some stuff yesterday with the video editing tools that I have. It was remarkably quick. I couldn't believe it. We're going to start doing, like, I think we're going to call it, like, off-the-cuff showcases, where we'll do, like, 10 to 15 minutes of gameplay footage and do, like, a commentary track with myself and one other person, like over top of the game that we're playing, like talking about it, you know, why it's cool, what people are seeing. Just as a way to get more content on the YouTube page. So we're gonna have that and possibly video reviews of the games, which would pretty much amount to the exact same thing. 10 to 15 minute video gameplay footage of a game that we're reviewing. So basically we would write a short script or review for the game and just read that over top of gameplay footage and then post the score at the end of it. And of course we'll use the Geekcast Radio scoring system. But the reviews are farther down the road, but the overview or showcase videos, as I'm going to choose to call them, we're going to try and do one for Pixel Junk Shooter, and we're going to try and do one for Diablo 3, so people can look for those fairly soon. If there's any off-the-cuff watchers or listeners that listen to the show too, that stuff is coming to the YouTube channel.
Yep. So, thank you for listening or watching Altered Geek Unlimited. You can contact us in the following ways. You can visit the website geekcastradio.com, which I don't have in the lower third right now.
I do. Right there.
Yep,
Yay,
he
look at
does.
me,
It's
camera, look at me.
geekcastradio.com. You can get a hold of us on Twitter. And my Twitter is at SCP21.
And mine is at BoothNinja81.
So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Bye.